When we come to a narration from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it's actually a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam gives us that final clue, and he kind of settles the matter once and for all, and he is able to identify for us who is the true Luqman al-Hakim out of the three individuals. Is it Al-Kamiyan? Is it Aesop? Or is it Ahikar? What do you think, Shana?
To be honest, Abu Sadiq, I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would say, could it be Aesop?
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد إليهم والمهدين وسلم تسليما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear sister and companion Shana
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته Thank you for having me, Abu Sadiq
Thank you for joining me God bless you
Abu Sadiq, I had a question regarding the character mentioned in the Quran which was Luqman the Wise I was wondering if you could tell me more about this personality
So, Luqman al-Hakim, alayhi salam, is a very notable character in Islam. And perhaps the reason for that is the fact that out of the 114 surahs that came down in the Quran, there is one surah in particular which is named after Luqman, Surat Luqman. Okay? The surah of Luqman. And in the surah itself, Luqman has some sayings, some proverbs, which are maxims, which are preserved in the Quran, in which he's giving advice to his son. But it doesn't reveal the nature of who this character Luqman is. It's not so much telling the story of who Luqman is, as much as it is just preserving some of his wisdoms or some of his sayings, his advice. That he gave his son. And that caused people to assume throughout history that Luqman must be a character of extreme importance. He also must be a monotheist. He perhaps was a prophet or a messenger for the Holy Quran to preserve his name in this way and preserve his words or his sayings. And this led naturally so that people question the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about the story of who this Luqman the Wise was. And in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi salam, we have many references and varying stories about the identity of Luqman al-Hakim. Sometimes they go together, other times they're contradicting in nature. And so we'll go through some of those stories and some of the identities or the characters that historians and authors have associated Luqman with while attempting to figure out who this character is. Some of the researchers and historians and Islamic writers have associated Luqman al-Hakim with a Greek doctor and philosopher whose name is Al-Kamiyan. And they associate him with Al-Kamiyan mainly because of the fact that this individual was wise and he was also privy to many sciences. So they assumed him to be a wise man. And they associated or they drew upon the fact that the name Al-Kamiyan had letters that were similar to Luqman. So both have L's, both have Q's or C's, right? Both have M's, both have N's. And so they said, well, this name is pretty similar to that name, so there's a chance that these individuals are actually one and the same. Other narrations from the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam have spoken about Luqman al-Hakim and have stated basically that he used to be somebody who was a teacher to somebody who became a teacher to Socrates. Okay? And so they associate him with being somebody who came before Socrates and that influenced perhaps Socrates and Aristotle and Plato. For that reason, people came to associate him with being a Greek individual or somebody that is in Greek culture, perhaps a philosopher or a writer that existed in ancient Greece. And they identified him with a character called Aesop. And Aesop was a writer who influenced Socrates, and Socrates drew from his knowledge and from his tales. In particular, he was a famous fable writer, or a person who wrote stories, basically. Aesop is an individual who actually wrote a lot of famous tales that still exist today. Like, for example, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Aesop's the one who wrote it. And another story is The Tortoise and the Hare. This story also Aesop wrote it. And so the authors, the writers, the researchers, they associated the character of Aesop with being Luqman al-Hakim, and they said, look, this individual influenced Socrates, and also we have in the narrations this idea that he was a teacher or an influencer of Socrates. Other narrations identify him as being a Nubian, or being dark in color, being African, his origins coming from Sudan or from Egypt. And this is something that also matched and led to them in particular choosing the character of Aesop to be that individual who is Luqman al-Hakim, because in Greek history, Aesop was identified as being black or being African, or his origin was from Africa. And so he influences Socrates, and at the same time, he's an African wise man, right, in origin. And so they said, okay, well, this individual must be Luqman al-Hakim. There are other narrations from the Ahl Bayt alayhim as-salam which state basically that he lived around the time of David, and that he was an individual that actually had conversations with David, King David of Israel, and actually influenced him and taught him in some instances, and that David had envied Luqman al-Hakim because he was a person who obtained wisdom but was relieved from the burden of being a king, right, like he was. They were both given wisdom, but only David was given kingship. And there are some famous narrations that basically state that the angels came down to Luqman al-Hakim and they offered him a chance to be a king or a ruler. And Luqman al-Hakim says, if this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands me to do, then I accept it because I know that in it will be goodness. But it is if it is something that God is merely giving me the choice to choose to be a king or to not be a king, then I choose to not be a king because of the burden that comes with it. And so this was also a display of his wisdom, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him for being a person who was not eager to run after the dunya and wise enough to realize that those who want and chase after the dunya, they end up losing both the dunya and the hereafter, because the dunya perishes And they don't attain the hereafter either because they were chasing after after dunya. And then the role of the kingship that was initially presented to Luqman as an option for him to take ended up going over to King David, and David ended up being appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it kind of indicates that maybe Luqman was in Israel, that perhaps he was a Hebrew, or he was just a wise man, a wise sage that lived close by, that met with David on particular occasions. But there is no trace for this type of story in Jewish literature, in the Hadiths or in the Bible or in the Jewish narrations. There's no such event that took place where there was another person who, you know, we can't find a trace for it other than in these narrations from the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam. So now we have Luqman being associated with two individuals, and both of these individuals are Greeks that come from Greek culture, one of them having African origins, while the other one is just a Greek man. But both were influential in Greek society. The problem with the association of Luqman al-Hakim with these two individuals is that there is no trace of this kind of relationship that Luqman al-Hakim has with a son of his, where he's giving him these examples that are very much emphasized in the Holy Quran, where he says, my son, my son, my son, my son. And each time he says, my son, it is followed by a particular advice. But you do have these sayings associated with a third individual, okay, that is outside of Greek culture, actually. A third individual by the name of Ahikar. Ahikar, and the story of Ahikar is basically that there was this chancellor. And the chancellor, he was a chancellor in Assyria. He was an Assyrian chancellor to the king. Sennacherib, that was the king that he was a chancellor to him and to his son after him. And Ahikar always advised this king, and he was a wise man who was known and respected in all of Assyria. The story states that he did not have a son of his own, but rather he had a nephew. The nephew was a man by the name of Nadin, or Nadan, or Nadab, or Nathan. Okay? And this individual that was his nephew, he adopts him, and he wants and wishes for him to be his successor after him. Now, this son is evil. He's bad. He's a bad son. He's a bad nephew to Ahikar, and he basically conspires against him in order to steal his place, and he convinces the king, the successor that comes after Sennacherib, that Ahikar is a traitor. And this causes the king to basically exile. First, he condemns him to death, Ahikar, and Ahikar ends up finding himself in a situation where the person who is going to fulfill the execution against him is prepared to take it out. But Ahikar manages to convince him, because he tells him that basically you were in the same position that I was in during the reign of Sennacherib. You were being falsely accused, and I managed to help you escape. And so you owe it to me to do the same, because I am also falsely accused. And basically, another person is executed in his place, and the body is presented to the king, Esarhaddon, and he is convinced that Ahikar is basically executed, while Ahikar actually escapes. Eventually, the tale is that Hagar ends up returning back. He is proven to be innocent. The nephew is proven in front of the emperor or the Assyrian king to be the one who lied. Hagar ends up having one final meeting with the evil nephew, Nathan or Nadan, and he ends up basically giving him a series of advices. And these series of advices always start off with my son, and then he says an advice, my son, and then he says an advice, my son, and then he says an advice. So he gives him all of these advices before his betrayal, and he also gives him a series of advices after his betrayal, and they all start off with my son. And he basically in the end tells his son that he is useless to him, and that, you know, all traitors are useless, and he says things of this matter. And in the end, Nathan ends up losing his position and end up losing his life, actually. And there's a reference to the character of Hagar and the nephew who betrayed him in a biblical source that is left out of most modern Bibles today, and that is the Book of Tobias, or the Book of Tobit. In this book, there's a reference where the main character says, do you not see what happened with Ahikar and his son, and how his son betrayed him? And so that is the story of Ahikar, and we find that it resembles the story of Luqman very much so, in the fact that in both stories there is a wise man, and in both stories there is a son who is being advised, and in both stories there is a group of wisdoms or parables, sayings, that all start off with the words, my son. It is identical, almost, when you look at them, the way that they are, the parables are stated, it looks pretty identical to one another. However, we don't find the exact sayings that are in the Quran being duplicated in the sayings of Ahikar, but we find ones that are pretty similar. Similar enough that a person can make the conclusion that these two people, Ahikar and Luqman al-Hakim, are one and the same. When we come to a narration from the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam, it's actually a narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam gives us that final clue, and he kind of settles the matter once and for all, and he is able to identify for us who is the true Luqman al-Hakim out of the three individuals. Is it Al-Kamiyan? Is it Aesop? Or is it Ahikar? What do you think, Shana?
To be honest, Abu Sadiq, I don't know. But if I had to guess, I would say, could it be Aesop?
Well, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is speaking with one of his companions. His companion asks him, he says, who is Luqman al-Hakim? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam responds and says that the name of the son of Luqman al-Hakim is a man by the name of Nadan. And so this confirms once and for all the identity of Luqman al-Hakim and seals it to be Ahikar. And that is the end of the episode. And inshallah, you enjoyed it and benefited something. And inshallah, we'll meet again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jana. Assalamu alaikum.